Our service this morning, the service of Holy Communion, will follow the pattern that we use on Thursday evenings, that is, a silent Eucharist, with the exception of the words spoken by the one who is celebrating, the president of the Eucharist. We shall open with two familiar prayers, then there will be led meditation, then the prayer of consecration, or the thanksgiving prayer as it's sometimes called, and this will be followed by the reading of a short passage of scripture. Before we begin the communion, I want to say a word this morning about Michael, the archangel. Yesterday we celebrated the festival of Michael, the archangel, and this is very much in our thinking throughout the whole of the weekend. Without doubt, there has been a steady increase of a Michael consciousness during recent years, both within the church and amongst many people who are searching spiritually beyond the boundaries of the ecclesiastical structures. And again, without doubt, one man more than any other has done a great deal to prepare the way for this Michael consciousness, and that is Rudolf Steiner. 60 years ago, he was writing about this new consciousness that would develop toward the end of this century. Just after the last war, Canon Shepherd of Worcester Cathedral wrote a book called A Scientist of the Invisible. And this book was an introduction to the life and work of Rudolf Steiner. In the book, he refers to a correspondence between himself and the great Archbishop of Canterbury, Archbishop William Temple. And in his last letter to Canon Shepherd, Archbishop Temple said, "I am now almost ready to begin my study of Rudolf Steiner." A few weeks later, the Archbishop died. Now, who knows what might have happened had that great man really studied the works of Rudolf Steiner, and the impact that it might then have had upon the church, but the time was not yet ripe. Now, what do we mean by a Michael consciousness? Perhaps somebody will hand me a copy of the Michael Office, because I would like to refer to it. Thank you. Let me say, before I go on to this, a definition of the Michael consciousness, that this consciousness is fostered wherever there is a dedication to Michael. So, in this very chapel, which is dedicated to Michael, a Michael consciousness is being fostered. In places like Coventry Cathedral, a tremendous impetus has been given to the Michael consciousness. At Burswood, which is rooted firmly in the Michael tradition, the dedication, or rather the laying of the foundation stone, was done at St. Michael's Tide. In places such as these, within the church, or related to the church, much is being done to foster this consciousness. Now, it can be defined very simply. Michael is seen increasingly as the light bearer for the Christ. The Michael consciousness precedes the new Christ consciousness. Or, to put it in more specifically Christian terms, Michael prepares the way for the second coming of Christ. That which Michael does blazes the trail for the coming of Christ. Now, it's very easy to do two things with this. It can either be personalized, the Michael consciousness, into what ends up as a very sentimental devotion to an image of an archangel, on the one hand, or it can simply be reduced to psychic phenomena at the other end of the scale. And it seems to me, and this is purely my own comment on this, it seems to me that perhaps, and I'm being very tentative about this, at this stage of man's evolution, the Michael consciousness is realized in its purity when there is a connection with a religious framework. Now, this is not necessarily so, but it is important that the Michael consciousness has a moral and ethical content. Now, I'm going to quote from two verses of the Great Invocation, which is a prayer used by millions of people around the world, to illustrate what I mean by this consciousness. The first verse crystallizes the Michael consciousness. The second verse crystallizes the Christ consciousness. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. A new enlightenment, a new preparation. That's the first verse. That's the Michael consciousness. Now the second verse. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. And there is the new Christ consciousness, which is what we mean by the second coming. Millions of people around the world, as I've already said, use this very powerful invocation. And undoubtedly this prayer, this invocation, has done a great deal to strengthen the new consciousness. Yesterday I was given a poster depicting Michael, the archangel, and the dragon, and it was a new slant on Michael and the dragon. You'll see it in the sitting room here at Kent House on the wall. Michael, he's a very benevolent Michael, and his sword is depicted as a torch. He's holding his sword in such a way that it is seen as a torch. Here is Michael, the light bearer. And he has harnessed the dragon, who's also very amiable. And you see Michael, having harnessed the dragon, carrying the torch. Now, what does this say to us? Well, it suggests that the Michael consciousness is enabling us to be reconciled to our own humanity in an entirely new way. You can link this up with all kinds of things. You can link it up, if you like, with the former Bishop of Woolwich's book, Honest to God, which puts forth the proposition of God as the ground of our being. You can link it with the tremendous search going on today for the self. Two men above all others have articulated this search in the West. One, Nassagioli, the psychologist, and the other, Gurdjieff. Now, there is a link here between the new Michael consciousness and self-consciousness. There is a linking of the human and the divine. Today's search is not consciously for God. This is why thousands of sermons preached every Sunday simply miss the point, answering questions that people are not asking. The search is for the self, but it is in the discovery of the self, the discovery of a true humanity, that the link with the divine is made. This is the way that multitudes of people are searching today. And this is depicted in the picture I have described. Michael harnessing the dragon. This tremendous harmony that comes over from Michael, the torch, and the dragon. So this is the consciousness which is being harnessed and drawn today to those who are on the spiritual path. I'm just going to read now part of the prayer from the Michael office, the invocation to Michael. O Michael, Prince of Heaven, and Gabriel, by whom the word is given, Raphael, with healing ministry, to those who yet in bondage are, guide our footsteps as we journey onward into paradise. Now, two prayers to lead us into our meditation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. O everlasting God, who hast ordained and constituted the services of angels and men in a wonderful order, mercifully grant that, as thy holy angels always do thee service in heaven, so by thy appointment they may succour and defend us on earth, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we take, first of all, simple steps to bring ourselves not only physically, but in every other way, in our thoughts and in our emotions, present in this room. And we begin by relaxing our bodies, remembering that they are temples of Holy Spirit, therefore of the utmost importance. We cannot ignore them when we offer ourselves in worship and prayer. We keep them as erect as possible as we sit. We become aware of our breathing, and as we breathe out, we relax the muscles, beginning with the head, breathing away the tensions, relaxing the scalp, the sides of the face, and the jawline, where so much tension gathers. We breathe away the tensions from the shoulders, dropping the shoulders and the arms. And the hands and the fingers, just let them completely relax. Relax the chest muscles and the waist. And the thighs and the legs. Now, as you breathe out as though you were breathing through all the pores of the body. Completely completely alert and in control, and at the same time, as far as possible, relaxed. For a few moments, just breathe out through all the pores of the body. Let us be aware that we are channels of the divine energy, the light and the love. Man, the crown of creation, is called to channel, consciously channel, the light and the love from the divine source to the whole of the created order. So let us become aware of the light and the love that pours down from above. And as we breathe in as though it were through the crown of the head, drawing in the light and letting it pour right through the body and into the earth. Just be conscious of the downpour of light and love, and hold yourself still within this stream, the link between the heavenlies, the divine, and the earth. Keep the channel open and the light flowing. Bring it down consciously in your mind's eye, through the crown of the head, down through the throat, the chest, the waist, down to the legs, into the earth. Now be aware of the body as full of light. And as you breathe out, be aware of breathing the light through all the pores of the body, building up around you an aura, a globe of light. So we fill the Michael Chapel with light. And we are in that light. Continuing to allow the light to pour down, we now focus our attention in the heart, the center of the chest. And from that point, as we breathe out, we radiate as from the petals of a rose, of a lotus, the light. So with our in-breathing we bring in the light, and with our out-breathing we radiate. And we link with all those throughout the world of many races, diversity of religions, and of none, but who are all seeking to channel the light to a needy world. And we channel the light to all places of suffering, of unrest, of chaos, and conflict. So in silence, keeping our consciousness in the light and radiating from the heart, we link in this way. Let us link especially with all that is happening in Ireland, with the light as it shines forth through the Pope. Let us be aware of all those who, in science, through religion, through social service, through medicine, and many other channels, are seeking to raise the consciousness of the human race. Let us be aware of those who are linked to us with ties of special responsibility. Some who need healing of mind and of body and of spirit. Let us see them as in the healing light. And as we come to the close of our meditation, let us center with concentration in the heart and say from the heart, and this is important, say from the heart with awareness from that point, the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let light stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth from the center where the will of God is known. Let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the Master knows and serves. From the center which we call the race of men. Let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. So, keeping our concentration and listening from the heart, we now listen to the great prayer of consecration. We lift up our hearts, we lift them far above all heavens, above all levels of being and creation, and with ourselves we bring creation, for the heart may comprehend all worlds, angelic orders, and all kingdoms, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the I Am, the Christ. This is our responsibility and our joy, in union with the patriarchs, the prophets, and the masters of wisdom of all the ages, to comprehend the truth as it is in Jesus, and in time and space, to offer ourselves a living sacrifice which is our reasonable service. And here we offer bread and wine, the fruits of creation and the work of men's hands, representing for us both the divine power and the divine presence in all creation. Now calling to mind the action and words of the Master Jesus, who took into his hands bread and wine, and offering them up, said of the bread, "This is my body," and of the wine, "This is my blood. This do as my memorial." We do this. So, uniting with the Christ, the I Am, the way, the truth, and the life, who was, who is, and who is to come, and with uplifted hearts, look for the coming of his kingdom in power and in great glory. Amen. Now, remembering that the highest function of the scriptures is to confirm that which is known in the heart, we listen to a short passage from the New Testament. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne with all the nations gathered before him. He will separate men into two groups, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "You have my Father's blessing. Come, enter and possess the kingdom that has been ready for you since the world was made. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. When naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me." Then the righteous on his right will reply, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink, a stranger and took you home, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit you?" And the king will answer, "I tell you this, anything you did for one of my brothers here, however humble, you did it for me." We close with the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and always. Amen.